Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 results conference call of OK Play India Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sumeet Maru from Kirin Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to welcome Mr. Rajan Handa, Managing Director of OK Play India Limited, Mr. Rishabh Handa, Executive Director and CFO. As this is the first call from the company, we will have brief introduction about the business model of the company, then Q3 result highlights, and followed by Q&A. Now, I hand over call to Mr. Rishabh Handa for brief introduction about the company. Mr. Rishabh Handa, over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Rishabh Handa, Executive Director and CFO of OK Play India. So I would just like to summarize and give an overview of the company. We are a publicly limited company, started in 1989 by the name of Aquapure Containers Private Limited. The intent of the company at that point was to do overhead water storage tanks. Very soon, our MD realized that, you know, he wanted to venture into more of higher quality molded products, and we started with toys in 1992. We had acquired a company called OK Play, which was based out of U.K., London, and at that point, it had about five to six SKUs with them. The company was bought and renamed as OK Play India Limited. In 1994, we had successfully done our IPO. The company started with the toy segment, and today primarily has three business segments. First being toys, school furniture, and outdoor play equipment. The second being automotive components, wherein we largely do plastic fuel tanks for the heavy commercial vehicle segment. And third, in 2015, we had ventured into electric vehicles, primarily on the three-wheeler platform. So meaning the electric rickshaws, electric autos, where we are the OEM, and we sell directly to the B2B as well as the B2C market. Talking about the toys, briefly, we had OK Play today is synonymous and one of the oldest players in the toys space. We have started with manufacturing a lot of high-quality products. With the recent developments that have taken place in the toys space, there has been a lot of interest coming up now. So on April 1, 2020, the government has introduced the BIS norms in the toys, which is basically a soft target by the Indian government to stop Chinese imports from coming into India, owing to the low-quality products that were earlier coming in. And this market previously was dominated by the Chinese, so it was very difficult for a company like us to compete with the Chinese in terms of the pricing as well as the volume, et cetera, that they do. But owing to the BIS norms, this has opened up for us now as a company. And earlier, the 95% plus market, which was dominated, you know, by the Chinese toys, has opened up. So it's a huge opportunity, both domestically as well as internationally. If I talk about some major developments in the toys space, we have signed up with one of the largest toy manufacturers in the world recently to do contract manufacturing for this part of the world, wherein we'll be supplying to the Middle East market, the Chinese market, the Australian market, as well as serving the Indian market. Second, we have also tied up with one of the largest players in India to sell our branded toys, which is OK Play, as well as doing pure contract manufacturing for them as well. Talking in 2003 to 2004, we ventured into the automotive space. So we today have a portfolio of multiple products, largely being auto molded, with 85% plus share coming from plastic fuel tanks. Today, we are single source suppliers to one of the largest customers, which is Ashok Leyland, in this space. We also have a majority share with Volvo Eicher, and we are in talks with one of the largest automotive companies now to supply plastic fuel tanks to them as well. The CV market has, since 1819, which was when it had reached its peak, it has seen a downturn. So this was 1 year prior to COVID, and then, of course, during COVID, it had gone down significantly in terms of volumes. But now we see the market picking up in a very good way. In fact, this year we would be contributing, we would be doing a higher share than what we had achieved in FY19 in the CV space. Talking a little bit about the EV segment, we have started, we ventured into the electric vehicle space back in 2015. This was when a lot of electric rickshaws had been introduced in the market, wherein there were no, quality norms, etc. that were being, people were importing it in a CKD form from China and selling it here. So being, in the automotive space, having a good presence and a good experience working with OEMs as well as tier one vendors in the automotive component space, we thought that we should, try and organize this market and, launch our own electric vehicle, which with, of course, plastic being the highlight. So even though the three business segments have nothing in particular in common, but what is common is the process of molding of plastic, which is where our specialities lie, which is largely rotational molding as well as some bit of blow and injection molding. In the electric vehicle space, as we speak today, we have a pretty well-established network of dealers, and we are also targeting the B2B space, wherein we work directly with logistics companies as well as a lot of e-commerce companies to cater to their last mile deliveries. This is a brief overview about the three business segments. If there are any questions in particular, I'll be happy to answer that.
Thank you. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sandeep Dixit from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for your time. I'm not very familiar with the company, so I just needed a little bit of a background. If I look at the numbers from let's say March 2011 till about March 2016, 2017, the revenues were reasonably range-bound between 60 and 100 crores. Something happened between March 17 and March 19, and it went from 79 crores to 153 crores. And then, unfortunately, we had the two COVID years. And now, as I see the numbers, we are back to the high growth part of about trailing 12 months is about 170 crores. Is it possible for you to give me some color on what's happening on the revenue front? Is there something materially, strategically, which has changed in the company? Hello?
Like I said, the company initially was in two business, largely in two business segments, one being the automotive component space and the second being the toy space. And This year we are seeing a quantum jump in both the sectors. So if you've been following the CV market space, you would know that it was pretty down 1 year prior to COVID. So this was start of 2020 till last year, which is now picking up. So our sale in the automotive space is pretty much proportional to how the CV market performs, and largely customers like Ashok Leyland, Tata's, Volvo, Eicher, because we 85% of our automotive space is into fuel tanks. So the CV market has picked up significantly this year, and hence our numbers have picked up on that side. Secondly, on the toy side, like I said, that we were initially an institutional player. We did a lot of institutional-oriented products, meaning largely catering to schools, preschools, daycares, creches. But now, with the Chinese ban coming in and the market opening up for us domestically as well as internationally, we have launched a lot of new retail-oriented products as well. So in the toy space, now we have ventured into the general trade market, into the modern trade market, selling to the likes of Hamleys, First Cry, Toys R Us and other companies. as well as now expanding our export market as well, which is a huge potential for us. So the numbers have doubled up on the toy space as well, and hence you see the revenue growth coming in FY23.
That's extremely helpful. Thanks. How much of the total revenue is coming from toys division right now?
So this year, about 45 crores to 50 crores is contributed by toys, and the remaining is contributed by the automotive space.
Okay. And are you sharing any guidance on either revenues or margins going forward?
So the company
targets.
Yeah, so the company, has one subsidiary, which is OK Play Auto. And there is the other main company, which houses both the businesses, which is the toy sector as well as the automotive components sector. We do track both businesses separately, but we do not post numbers separately on the public domain.
Okay. Any sense which is bigger, which is... I mean, I'm just trying to understand what is the dynamics, what is going to move the needle.
So see, I can give you a broader perspective going down the line. Like you rightly said, that this year we should be closing, at about 170 plus. And going forward, both the automotive space, which is the CV market, as well as the toy space, is expected to grow. In the CV space, the industry is cyclic in nature. And since it was down the last 3 years, the forward 3 to 4 years are looking pretty good on that side as well. In the toy space, we are expecting quantum growth coming in. Like I said, that we have doubled in terms of revenue from FY22 to FY23, and this is expected to grow at this current rate going forward in the next 4 to 5 years as well.
Great. Just one last thing on this particular part. From what I understand, you are a large part of this growth will come from subcontracting or other outsourcing. Business, would you be able to sustain a 20% plus margin on this incremental?
In the toy space, we are adopting both strategies. One is selling under our own brand name. Today, being one of the oldest, we have a very strong brand recall value in the market. So one path that we are anyways going on since beginning is selling under our own brand name. Second, of course, would be contract manufacturing, for the likes of Hamleys or other companies, wherein good volumes are expected, but yes, the margins would be slightly lower than what it would be on the branded space. However, on a sustainable, toys is a pretty, attractive looking margin business. And, even if we consolidate both parts of the businesses, we should be working at pretty healthy EBITDA margins.
Okay. And then one last question from me before. Any plans for CapEx? Because if you're projecting 100% growth rate in toys for the next 3 to 4 years, where do you stand in terms of capacity utilizations?
Yes, so we would be looking at, expanding our capacities in the toy space as well as the automotive space. So in the automotive space, like I mentioned, that we're in talks with one of the largest customers, so we're looking at setting up a plant, close to their facility. So there will be a capital requirement coming in that front. And secondly, on the toy space, the government has recently also introduced the PLI scheme, wherein we would be, participating in one of the slabs which requires a substantial amount of investment, which a substantial amount you also get back within the next 3 to 4 years.
Is there a number in terms of CapEx? Would this be in the range of 150 crores, 150 to 200 crores?
About 100 to 125 crores.
100 to 125 spread out over the next 2 years.
Yes.
Or will it be front ended?
So this will be over the next 3 to 4 years.
Okay. Thank you. That's it for me for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Sahani, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I think you have very well explained about the auto components and the growth, possible guidance on the growth on the toys part. But I would like to understand what's happening in the EV segment because as you have also mentioned, there is no bifurcation of revenue which the company has generated from EV and auto and your toys part. So any number there, and what is the growth projection in the EV segment? How is it doing? I mean, I want to understand that.
So, you know, on the electric vehicles segment, I'd like to give you a little background. So we had started in 2015, and, you know, like I mentioned, at that time, the market was flooded by the Chinese HRs coming in. So, you know, every person, whether a manufacturer or a so-called manufacturer, if I may say, like an assembler, was, you know, venturing into this segment. That is when we had also ventured and started selling. At that point, we had, you know, made a decent network of about 85 to 100 dealers and sold about 4 to 5,000 of these vehicles. But, you know, what had been a drawback for us at that point was the batteries. So this is something that we were not doing. We were, you know, simply buying from other companies and putting it in our product and selling it. And eventually, you know, the batteries degraded and did not perform up to the level expected. Hence, we had, you know, taken a back step then and, you know, reworked the business model. And, you know, about 3 to 4 months back, we have now again started expanding with both the electric rickshaw as one offering, and second is the electric auto, which is the L5 platform. So as we speak today, we have a decent network of dealers. It would take some time to expand back to those, the previous numbers. But we are very confident on this front of the business now because we have worked out all the limitations that we had faced before, especially on the battery front. We've been working with the likes of very reputed companies on the battery front and having warranties, etc., completely backed by them. So, and now if you see the overall market in terms of the EV space, I see three-wheelers personally being the low-hanging fruit. It already has majority share. So about 65 to 66% of the entire three-wheeler market today is electric. And, you know, if we factored in the numbers of the L3, which is the electric rickshaw market also, the market is huge. So we are looking at having about a 10 to 12% market share in the electric three-wheeler space in the next 3 to 4 years.
Sure. At present, what is the percentage of revenue which is coming from EV segment?
So at present, it is negligible because, like I said, that we have just started, you know, with our marketing and setting up the sales network, you know, in the past 2 to 3 months only. So as of now, it is negligible.
Sure. And another thing, you are planning for raising capital. So is it for the same purpose which was answered by you in the last question, or expand?
Yeah. So see, in the electric vehicle space, we have invested quite a lot in terms of you know, even the capex, and there is not, and the business model that we have outlaid now does not require any substantial amount of capex in the electric vehicle space. Maybe a little bit in the research and development side, but that also, you know, we have done quite a bit. And where we are today in terms of, you know, our products being certified, the L5 electric auto, both on the passenger front as well as the loader front, is certified. We have a portfolio of about 12 variants on the L3 front. So I don't think a substantial amount of capex would be required on that side. The capex that I mentioned would largely go into the toy space and the automotive component space in the next 3 to 4 years.
Sure. Will promoters be also participating in the fundraising round?
Yes, we may.
Okay. So my last question, though it was discussed in the previous question also, any guidance in terms of, you said that the growth has doubled, you know, in the toy segment, which is very impressive. And you said that the margins would be very, you know, it may not be 24 as you know, shown in this quarter, but it would be very healthy margins. So by healthy, can you, will it be more than 20% on a consistent basis?
Yes, you can consider it to be more than 20%.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yashwanti Katkar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. This is Yashwanti Katkar. Sir, I just wanted to understand more on the industry space. That we are present in a two segment. One is a toy and you know, plastic furniture mainly made for the kids. And again, you talk about the automotive segment and maintain that the EV rickshaw segment. So can you please help us understand what is the toy segment in India we can see and how it is growing? if you can give an industry perspective about the segment.
So, ma'am, on the toy side, you know, I can tell you conservatively the market is about 15 to 18,000 crores in India. But what is surprising is that the organized market here is very low compared to the entire market size.
Okay.
So I would say, you know, exact numbers are not there because it's highly, highly unorganized, and the government now, especially, you know, the good part is that the Indian government is intervening in this and, you know, has very aggressive plans to organize this complete market. Hence, they're coming out with a lot of toy clusters in different states of the country, and they're promoting exports. They have increased duties recently from 60% to 70%. They have introduced the BIS norms. So, you know, all those developments that have happened recently has given a boost to the Indian toy industry. In fact, we have now become net exporters. We had always been net importers, and as of this year, we would be net exporters, wherein we have exported about $350 million plus of goods. Even though the Indian toy market today contributes, you know, I would say about 0.4-0.5% of the overall toy market, I see it as a good growth opportunity. You know, largely because the share is so low at the moment and because the country in general has such a high young population. So, you know, I think we're in the right segment with that respect. And, you know, we are expanding both domestically and internationally in this space.
Okay. So, is it possible for us to quantify this capacity in terms of numbers, especially for the toy segment?
Sorry, come again, please.
I just want to understand, is it possible for us to quantify the capacity in terms of numbers? So how we do in terms of numbers, in terms of the tons, how do you calculate your capacity? And when you talk about the capacity expansion,
you know,
how
in the toys, in the toy space, there is not one specific process or one specific type of machine that we use. You know, we're into toys where we do smaller toys which are injection molded, blow molded, then we do the larger toys which are rotational molded. Then we do play school furniture, which is, you know, plastic, wooden, metal. So that's a different infrastructure altogether. So, I mean, and, you know, with the investment that I had just mentioned previously, we would be having sufficient capacities to meet our, you know, projected top lines as well as the growth plans in the next 2 to 3 years.
So this investment will be getting more molds or something like that?
So the investment would largely be into the infrastructure, which is the machines and the tools, which is the molds, and some part of it going into marketing.
Okay. And do we need to import those machineries, or this is indigenously available?
No, no. So all of this is available in India today.
All of that. Okay. So then you just mentioned that you will be having the government is making up lots of toys, I mean, toy making clusters and stuff. So are you part of that cluster, or this is just a positive development?
Yes, we are. In fact, you know, our company is working very closely with the Indian government to outlay the PLI scheme also. So it is in the final stages now. It will be announced anywhere in the next 2 to 3 months. And you would see that there are certain slabs in that PLI scheme, and we would be participating, you know, in a slab where there's a considerable amount of investment that we would be doing, which would largely be, you know, setting up a plant in one of these toy clusters.
Okay. And I just want to understand from a competition perspective, apart from these families and all for whom we are doing the contract with, are there anybody in the organized market which we say would be our very close competitor?
So see, there are no. So in India also, there are a few companies now which are, you know, which I would call organized and which are now attaining some good scale also. But competition is always healthy, so that's actually a good thing for us that, you know, people are venturing into this and taking it up in an organized way. However, these companies are pure contract manufacturers, so there are very few companies, I think probably Fun School being another company which is in the branded play, but very few companies who are both in the branded play as well as, you know, in the other contract manufacturing play.
Okay. And to compare with them, our competitive strength will be our quality?
So see, I mean, largely the market is today also doing very low quality products. So, you know, since the time that we've been in this space, which is more than 25, 28 years now, what we've been able to do is achieve a very loyal, a niche, but a very loyal customer base for our high quality products. And I think now, you know, with the market growing and the, you know, the Indian consumer also being, you know, smart about getting into or buying high quality products for their children, I think there's a good potential there, and people are realizing the importance of this, and hence the demand for, you know, these premium quality products has gone up.
Okay. So, is it in the toy market we can say that we have some product SKUs?
So, in the toy space, we would be having about 75 to 80 different SKUs today, and every month we are launching about 2 to 3 new SKUs now.
Okay, and that is completely indigenously.
Yes.
And one more question on the EV side. You say that EV rickshaw and EV auto, the market is gaining momentum. So is it possible for us to, like, how was the market and how where it is headed for in terms of either in terms of number or in terms of the value? If you can just help us understand.
You see, today, if I talk about the three-wheeler space, India currently is registering about 30 to 35,000 vehicles a month. So it's anyways about, I would say, about a 400 to 500 crore market per month today in the electric three-wheeler space. And this is only the one which is there, you know, which is there on the Vahan portal. That's where we, you know, we take the data from. But there are a lot of other, you know, unregistered vehicles also being sold today, which I would assume is probably same or more than, you know, the organized, the registered vehicle market. So the market is definitely there. And it is growing a lot, and especially on the three-wheeler space, considering the fact that already the majority of the three-wheelers are electric today, you know, speaks volumes of the acceptability of this product. So hence, you know, I would personally say that by 2025 or so, 100% of this market should be electric.
Okay. And so you mentioned about the batteries, now there was a hurricane about the batteries in the past few years, and that has been resolved. So we have this consist, like we have this tie-up or we have this collaborative agreement with this battery manufacturer, and how we work with them?
So we have tie-ups with multiple, not just with one. And on the battery space also, you know, there are different models coming up. There are fixed batteries being offered, you know, of different sizes in terms of kilowatt hour. Then there are swappable batteries being offered. Okay. People are venturing into lithium-ion batteries. So, you know, there are different sorts, different types, and we have tie-ups for all types. So when we are today doing a product offering, we offer, you know, all options to the customer. For example, he can buy a lead acid battery, which is a fixed battery for our vehicle, which may be cheaper, but then, you know, it gives you a lesser range, etc. Secondly, he can offer a lithium-ion battery on the swappable front, wherein, you know, the cost of the upfront vehicle comes down because there's no initial investment in the battery. It's more a pay for what you use model. So it's a, you know, it's a CapEx to OpEx model on that battery front. Okay. But here the question is not about the business model, because that's already accepted today in the market. The issue that we had faced initially was the batteries not being able to perform, which I think now the companies in India have done a tremendous job on that front. And we are seeing that whatever that they are seeing in terms of warranties or performance is actually happening. So we are very confident on this market growing up again for us now.
So, any plan to venture into the battery business also?
Sorry, come again, please.
Any plan to venture into the battery business also?
No. That's a different business altogether, and we have no plans to do that.
Okay. Then the last question, as we are in the plastic furniture and everything is dependent on the oil prices as our key raw material, do you, and we are earning a margin of around 20-25%. So, is there is any side effect or any impact on the oil prices fluctuation, the volatility which is currently there?
No. So see, on the automotive space, we work on a pure cost plus basis with all our OEMs. So even if there is an increase in the price of the raw material, we are compensated for it. And in the toy space, you know, anyways, we're working on pretty healthy margins. But even if there is a change, being our own brand, etc., we are always free to, you know, change our pricing.
Okay. Sir, and there is a lot of gungo about using the recycled plastic. So, is there any way that in the future we are shifting to the recycled plastic?
Is there the plastic that we use is non-toxic. It's, you know, food-grade plastic. It's UV resistant. So, it's completely safe.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you so much for the explanation and making me understand the concern. And wish you all the best for future.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himani Oban from Suraj Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Sir, please throw some light on competition with China in toy industry.
So, ma'am, like I mentioned, this was the case before, but it's no longer the case because with the BIS norms being implemented, today there are no Chinese toys which are accredited with the ISI mark. So, hence, it's illegal to import toys without the BIS certification. So, today as we speak, the Chinese toys imports are not happening in the country.
Okay. And how's the demand shaping up in next few years due to slowdown in the economy?
So I think, you know, toys are something that's agnostic to this. You know, it's keeping in mind that the market, which was earlier, you know, dominated by other countries, has opened up. Even if the economy slows down a little bit, the growth in this segment will always be there. So, and I mean, this can be seen even from our own performance. We have doubled up in terms of our revenue from last year to this year. And, you know, with these recent developments that I had mentioned and with our recent tie-ups with the big players, both domestically as well as internationally, we're expecting a pretty robust growth in this segment.
Okay, and sir, what are business strategies of growth?
So, you know, we have, I mean, outlaid a clear plan, keeping in mind all our different business segments. If I talk about the automotive space, we are already, you know, suppliers to the top three customers in the medium and heavy commercial vehicle space. And there's the fourth customer, which we are in advanced stages of starting business with them. Secondly, on the toy space, I have mentioned our plans going forward, both on the branded side as well as on the contract manufacturing side. And things are looking pretty good there as well. We have already done some significant tie-ups and some are, you know, in the process of closing out because, you know, these are large companies, so vendor onboarding, etc. takes time. But both businesses are looking good in terms of growth now.
Okay, sir, my last question is, do we have institutional sales for the toy segment? How much do you do your top five customers contribute?
So when, ma'am, we had started initially, the intent of the company was to do institutional-oriented products. And today also the majority of our share is institutional-oriented products. But now if I look at the numbers coming up in FY24, this would change significantly, wherein, you know, I think retail side as well as the contract manufacturing side would have a higher share compared to the institutional-oriented products. But as on today, I would say it's about 55 to 60%.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone phones at this time. The next question is from the line of Vaibhav Shah from Cogen Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congrats on the good set of numbers. So I just wanted to understand three things about the company. So first of all, total number of SKUs that is around 75 to 80. And you are introducing around 2 to 3 SKUs every month. So overall, how is the development process? And what will be the overall development time for the one product from the design to coming into the production?
So, you know, we have our own design team and our own tool making department. So that is actually one strength of our company. So from inception to designing to prototyping to actually converting it into a mold is not a very lengthy process for us because everything is in-house. But on this side also, there are, you know, I mean, there's a different approach. So if you're talking from a branded play side and depending upon the size of the toy and depending upon, you know, the features, etc. that you want, the time may vary a lot, so I can't give any, you know, any kind of a indication in terms of one specific timeline for doing one product. It depends from product to product. Secondly, on the contract manufacturing side, a lot of companies, you know, have approached us with their own designs, etc. And we simply, you know, the files, etc. are ready. So then we just simply have to convert it into a tool. For example, with Reliance, with Hamleys, we do contract manufacturing based on their designs. So it depends. It depends entirely from, you know, company to company and what kind of a toy you're doing.
Okay. So on your branded product, what will be the average pricing for your toys?
So see, our toys start from 400, 500 rupees and go up till lakhs of rupees, because the outdoor play equipments that we do, you know, you must have seen those big play equipments which are installed at bigger schools or builders, etc. We do those as well, which is roto-molded plastic with metal components, etc. So those run into lakhs of rupees. So there's no fixed average SQ as such.
For the indoors, the smaller toys and all, like you can see on the website,
2,000 to 3,000 rupees.
2,000 to 3,000 rupees will be the average price.
Yeah, so this would be probably, so see, we should see this in terms of, you know, the product types, the segments, rather than the entire portfolio. Like, for example, ride-ons would be 2,000 to 3,000, slides would be 6,000 to 7,000. So it all depends on what product category or range you're talking about.
Okay, okay. So when we talk about the toys like ride-ons and then the various sports toys and all, so they are ranging from 400 to 500 rupees. Is this correct?
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay, okay. So, just to add on this, for the contract manufacturing part, how is it works? And because it's a totally, you just do a manufacturing, or you provide any insights, or totally the files and all the molds and everything will be given by the...
No, so it depends. It depends from customer to customer. See, we would be doing anything that is required and that is in our view to, you know, satisfy the customer. So, for example, if a particular customer has his own designs, we can simply mold the product for them, and, you know, based on certain MOQs, we can sell to them. If the customer is wanting us to give options, we like I said, we have our own design team, so we do give options as well. So we work very closely with our customer in terms of whatever the customer wants. Now, you know, with these companies coming up, like, for example, you know, companies like FirstCry, Amazon coming up in their private labels, all these companies are wanting to venture into the toy space and do a lot of private labels for their brands.
Okay.
So, you know, and this is a new market for them, because earlier, you know, it was, they were not so keen like how they are today. So we do pitch in and do, you know, offer our suggestions as well, because we do have a good knowledge in terms of what is accepted today in the Indian market.
Okay. Okay. And for the our own branded products, so we have online, offline model.
We have both models. So we sell through 3 to 4 different channels. One being the dealer channel. We sell through distributors. We sell through the online channel. We sell through general trade. We sell through modern trade.
Okay, okay. So on dealer distribution front, or how many dealers or network will be having?
About 100.
And our products are available at Pan India level.
Yes.
Okay. So roughly, if you can give us an idea in how many in touch points your product will be available.
So see, these 100 distributors, I think, sell probably to about 1,500, 2,000 retailers, from very small retailers to the bigger retailers as well. And then they also sell directly to B2B institutions like schools or daycares.
Okay.
I would put it this way that today, if you visit any school in India, I'm sure they'll be carrying up some of our products.
Got it. So when we bifurcate the online and offline, so how much will be business will be coming from the online and all?
Largely today the market is offline, but we expect this also to change significantly, because the new products that we're doing, which are, you know, more retail oriented, and owing to its size, etc., they are more apt to be sold online. So we expect this to change significantly in the upcoming years.
Okay. So, and now on automotive front, so we are solely providing plastic, right?
Yes.
Okay. And this is for the passenger vehicle?
No, this is for the CV, the commercial vehicles
Okay,
market.
commercial vehicle. Okay, got it.
And primarily MHCV, which is the medium and heavy commercial vehicle market.
Oh, okay. So what will be the breakup between this toys and this storage, petrol storage or capacity tank or petrol tank?
So you're asking for the breakup between the automotive components and the toys business?
Yes.
So, you know, like I said, this year, about 65 to 70% is automotive components, 30% is toys.
Okay.
As on this year.
Okay. And one last question. Currently, we are doing contract manufacturing for how many clients? Any number?
So, you know, I'm not allowed to disclose the names.
No, I don't want names, but
we are doing it for multiple today, and we're in talks with many more for starting this process.
Okay. And you also mentioned you are going for the exports also. So have we started doing exports or we are in plan?
We have already started.
So in export, are we facing any competition from China and when compared to them? So what will be the price difference and or it's...
So see, one thing we realized, like how, you know, in a subtle way, the Indian government is moving away from China and, you know, reducing their reliance on them. Other countries are also doing or following a similar strategy. So big groups, you know, for example, like Walmart and others also are looking at alternative sources. I wouldn't say they're wanting to move all out, obviously, but they're wanting to, you know, kind of de-risk themselves. So pricing is not the only factor here. There are multiple other factors also. But yeah, if I talk about pricing in particular, with the PLI scheme coming in and, you know, the Indian government supporting us in other ways, I think we will be very, very competitive with China.
Okay. And our primary raw material will be HDPE.
We do all sorts of raw materials. We do a lot of engineered plastics. We do LDHD. I mean, a lot of other engineered grades as well.
Okay. And are we using like new technologies like 3D printing or something for the toy manufacturing? 3D printing or something like that? Or it's a totally low molded or injection molded product?
No, so these are all three. There's roto molded also, blow and injection molded also, but we do not do 3D printing as of now. If required, we do have the infrastructure to get that done.
Okay. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phones now. The next question is from the line of Sandeep Dixit from Arjav Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's me back again. I just want to understand the funding of this CapEx. You indicated 125 odd crores. There is a press issue that you have, you'll be launching, right? Can you share any details on the size and stuff like that?
So we would be looking at, but this, you know, like I mentioned, this 100 to 125 crores is over a span of 3 to 4 years, depending on, you know, how much is required at what stage for every business of ours. And we are in talks, you know, with several funds, plus our own bankers at the moment to, you know, raise these funds as and when required.
So the notice that was given to the exchange today about a preferential issue of shares, or am I mistaken?
So that, you know, we will give you more details on that once the board meeting is announced.
Okay. The other thing is, in response to the earlier participant, did you mention the split of revenues as 35-65 between toys and auto?
Yes. As on today, this year, it's 35-65.
And autos and toys are going at like 100% per annum over the next 3 to 4 years, as you had said earlier.
Am I right? We could say that, yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur Gulati, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Really appreciate you guys scheduling a call. Quick question. I was going through a bunch of documents on your website. I think this is some 2020 document, perhaps. It says you were targeting $50 million from your automotive business in 2023. So roll forward, of course, 2 years of COVID gone. But any views on that $50 million revenue target?
So see, on the automotive side, you know, 80 to 85% of our business is on the fuel tank side, and this is in the MHCV segment. Now, in the MHCV segment today, the top four customers, namely Tata's, Mahindra's, Volvo, Eicher, and Ashok Leyland, dominate the market. Mm-hmm. We already work with three of them very closely, and we are in talks with the fourth customer. Mm-hmm. And you know, if we are able to back that order, then we should be doing the number that we had mentioned on the automotive side as well.
So you're saying you can potentially hit 50 million, right, if you crack it perfectly?
Absolutely. And now, you know, apart from, you know, the fuel tank side, we're also, you know, venturing into the non-automotive side. For example, you know, we're working with windmill companies to do plastic parts for them. So, you know, covers, plastic covers, consoles, rear consoles, front consoles, all that type of material. So, you know, basically, you know, our expertise lie in converting anything which is, they say, in fiber, metal to plastic, owing to its characteristics, you know, being lightweight, being more durable, no rusting, etc. So it makes sense for this industry to venture into it.
Yeah, conceptually, let's say 5 years forward, commercial heavy vehicles, if EV pick up, then fuel tank may become a bit obsolete. So any views?
So I, you know, eventually it is going to happen, but I don't see it happening in the next 5 years for sure. You know, if you look at the West today, it has not happened there. So here, I mean, we're pretty far away at the moment. And the tanks that we do are not, you know, the smaller ones or not for the passenger vehicle. It's the larger ones. So they're 40 tonners, etc. So, you know, we would need to set up a very extensive infrastructure, especially a charging infrastructure, if you're looking at, you know, doing these heavy electric trucks. So I think we have a pretty long way to that as of now.
Understood. And sometime in F22 annual report, it was written that RERA e-vehicles, there was some sort of a slump sale or something. Can you just elaborate a bit more on that? What was the transaction?
So RERA is where the electric vehicle business is housed. And today we have, you know, separated that into a different subsidiary altogether. So we can, you know, track the performance and keep that business separate from the other businesses. So hence, there was a slump sale from the parent company where the electric vehicle business was, you know, transferred to the subsidiary.
And the fundraise will you plan to raise separately funds for EV vehicle in that subsidiary, or is it still at a console?
It will probably be individually in that subsidiary. But like I said, as of now, we are not looking at raising funds for the EV side. We already have, you know, the stage that we're at the moment, we don't require much to expand now.
Then financial year 22, somehow your inventory days are north of 600. So any views there? Was it mostly COVID or anything?
See, this was largely clouded because of the EV side. So, you know, a lot of parts earlier that we were doing, not just us, but any other company in particular, were being imported. You know, the major parts of the vehicle, like the motor, the differential, the controller, etc., was being imported. And so we have a lot of stock of, you know, these parts sitting with us, and hence the inventory days are high. But, you know, if we see it as three different business segments, the working capital is relatively low, auto on the first side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Sumit Maru from Kiran Advisors Private Limited. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of OKPlay India Limited. If you have any queries, you can write us at research@kirinadvisors.com. Once more, thank you everyone for joining the conference.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.